for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, October the 23rd, 2013. Jill Marzullo is the speaker of this service, teaching on rejection.
Now, Sister Jill is going to come move us in the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Well, hi, y'all.
Hi.
Nice to see all your beautiful faces today and smiling. You ready?
You're ready.
My surprise is I don't speak very often. So here we go, okay? Buckle your seatbelts, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to speak to you, because it's not me that speaks to you, it's the Lord. Because Jill wouldn't do this. I just want you to know that it's only the Lord working through me. Took my crown off, here I am, and what you see is what you get.
Amen.
And let the words of my mouth give honor and bring forth revelation to each and every one of you today. Many of us have had something tragic happen in our lives. The death of a loved one, losing a job or a home, and the numbness that you feel after such an event can be so overwhelming. Can you imagine if you lived back in the day of Jesus and he was crucified and you were one of his disciples, how you would have felt? That was the Messiah. How could this ever happen to the Messiah? Why didn't God stop it? What is going on? You would have felt so numb. And you would have unbelief. You would have felt defeated. You would have felt all these emotions because you just didn't understand what had happened. And you would have been walking around in a numbness. I remember when 9/11 happened. That day after, I was so numb. I was so heartbroken. And it was just, it was a horrible feeling to walk around in that numbness. Some of us are living in that numbness time. In Jesus' day, after 3 days, guess what? He rose!
Yeah.
He rose from the dead! We don't need to be walking around in that numbness because he rose. No, and we were set free. So some of us are walking around and we haven't received the victory of the resurrection. And there, and I pray that the Lord will remove the numbness and heal our broken hearts and wounded spirits today. I was born in Illinois. Not too far from Arkansas, right? I think all the people from Illinois used to come to Arkansas for vacation. This was the place. I was born in this small town. And my dad was in college. And my parents lived on campus. And that's living for the married couples. I had an older brother that was 2 years older than me. And when my mother had my brother, she was terrified of pregnancy because it went 10 months. And he was a 10-pound baby. And he was breech. She was born feet first. So she had a terrible pregnancy. When she found out she was pregnant for me, she was one of those rare women that got her period every month, and so she didn't know she was pregnant until she was almost 5 months pregnant. All of a sudden, I was moving inside her, and she found out she was pregnant. And she was terrified. When she was 8 months pregnant, her uncle was a doctor, and she went to him, and she said, I can't stand being pregnant. Get this baby out of me. I can't stand it. So he induced labor, and I was born at 8 months. And I was 5 pounds. I was, you know, good enough size. But anyway, when I was a teenager, my mother shared with me that she had had 3 abortions around the time I was born, just after I was born. And if she had known she was pregnant, she would have aborted me. And at that point, it was like rejection. Yeah. All this time that I had in my life where I always felt that I was unloved and unwanted, now I knew why. I mean, I didn't know why, but I know why now. when my mother and father were married, she didn't really like to be a housewife. She wanted to go back to work, and so she went and got a job, and she started hanging around with her coworkers. And her marriage failed. Her being a mother was not very well. And so they got divorced. She was a very dynamic, outgoing person. When she walked in the room, it would light up. She was that type. She had a great personality. And so she got a job with 3M Company, and she traveled to all the Woolworth stores. Those were her accounts. Well, she got custody of 2 kids. You can't take 2 kids in the car with you when you travel around. So she found a farm and an older couple to take care of my brother and I. She went on the road for 2 weeks, and my grandparents, the 4 grandparents, did not know where we were or who we were with. Can you imagine being a grandparent and not knowing? Where are your grandchildren? Here, Audrey's out traveling around the United States, and where did she leave her kids? So they finally, and they didn't have cell phones in those days, so you couldn't say, hey, where are the kids, you know? So they finally heard from her and found out where we were, and the 4 grandparents got in the car and went to see. And it was in a farm, it was out in a farm, and we were just given the essentials. My grandmother told me that I was in the dirt, I was less than a year old, in a diaper, dirty diaper, sitting in the dirt, eating mud, and, you know, my brother was just running around. And as they were leaving, my one grandma said, my mother's mother said, I can't leave those kids there. So they turned around, they went back, and my mother's parents took my brother and I in. And they had 5 children. The 2 youngest were teenagers, and here they had 2 more. I'm sure that was a burden. But I didn't know it at the time, because it was, you know, it was just my life. And my grandfather was the president of the bank in the town. They were very, you know, high muckety mucks. So, so anyway, and I was put in Catholic school, and I was like 7 years old, and I was going through catechism. Who is God? God is the creator of all things. You know, that whole thing. And we were walking home from school one day. At 7 years old, you could walk miles then. Now you wouldn't let your kids go out for nothing. And as we're walking home, there was a gas station. I had to use the bathroom. I stopped. I went in the bathroom, and when I went in the bathroom, all of a sudden the bathroom filled with this light, this bright light. And it was so overwhelming. I was 7 years old, and I remember this so vividly. It was so overwhelming, and what I felt was, Jesus. I really love Jesus. And that brought me to tears. I was crying. I walked out of the bathroom, and my 3 friends that were with me, they said, what's the matter with you? I said, I don't know. I just really love Jesus. And they looked at me like I had 3 heads. So, anyway, I really believe that, you know, the Lord takes care of unwanted children.
Yes.
And they're really special to them, to Him, I mean. And like children that are adopted, they feel that rejection, and children that are unloved, Jesus is walking with them, and he is loving them the whole time. And it's really, you know, it's really neat. So if any of you out there have been adopted or been unwanted or unloved, just know that through your whole life, Jesus has been there holding your hand and walking with you.
Now, where was I? In here. Okay.
Now, all this happened to me before I was a year old. The divorce, and my mother didn't want to have a baby. She left me with strangers, and I wasn't even, my grandparents took me in when I was like 9 months old. So insecurity, I suffered from insecurity and rejection most of my life. I know why now. I know why this happened. Satan's job on this earth is to kill, rob, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And the first line of defense are children. And if he can get a child and make a child feel rejected and insecure, and that's right where he goes.
Amen.
So little children are very precious mm-hmm. to the Lord. And we must be careful how we treat children and what we say to children. I had a friend that was from a family of 9 children. And one of them would bring home a stray dog or a stray cat, and the dad would let them play with the cat all day or the dog all day. And then after dinner, he would always say, well, I'm going to go take the dog for a ride. Well, the dog never came back. So guess what? The kids were afraid to get in the car with the dad. I'm not going for a ride with dad. And we say things to our kids, and we don't really. I said to my daughter when she was 5 years old, if you're not good, I'm going to sell you on the corner for a quarter. What a horrible thing to say, you know? Well, I thought it was being funny, but, you know, to a 5-year-old, she thought Nick's garage sale, she was going on the table. So, you know, if you say to your kid, no one in my family ever got a C on their report card. What are you saying? You're really not part of a family and you're stupid? You know? Or, you know, we say like, oh, you better be careful. Watch what you eat. Your dad's side of the family are built like Christmas trees. So you're always looking in the mirror and going, you know, worried about how you're going to be. Or you're just like Aunt Peggy. Aunt Peggy was a family nutcase, you know, so... So you got to be careful. And also, if you marry someone that has children, I know a lot of us have, our step-parents, or you're a stepmother, you got to realize the full responsibility of being a step-parent. I don't even really like the name step-parent. I don't like half-brother, half-sister. And we live in a world where divorce is commonplace. How hard is it for a child to be in a family and all of a sudden, you know, they're called, oh, that's my stepchild. Yes. That's my half-brother. That's my half-sister. We need to honor the children. If you're a step-parent, you need, if you marry the man or woman, you're marrying the children also.
Right.
You know, and you need to love them as you would your own. I have a stepson and 3 grandchildren. I love that stepson as much as I do my daughters and my other grandchildren. So we're all part of the family. And maybe it's because I came from that. My mother remarried when I was 9 years old, and I got a Jewish stepfather. Nothing better than a Jewish dad, I want you to know. They're the best. And he loved me like I was his child. And so I know, because I lived it. When my mother married him, she was pregnant, and I ended up with a brother. I was 10 years old, I ended up with a brother. And it was like my own baby doll. I was so happy to have this baby. I dressed him up, you know, he was so much fun as a little kid. And they were in the nightclub business, my parents. And their nightclub was open till 5 in the morning. So I took care of my brother most of the time. I was the parent. They were out partying.
I was the parent. I gotta find where I was. I'm just talking away here.
Good.
I had another encounter with Jesus when I was 13 years old. I lived in Miami Beach at this time. And it was at the time when Cuba fell. And all the Cuban children came to the United States. Well, they're all settled in Florida. So there was no room in the Catholic school for us. So I had to go to these classes on Saturday to learn how to be confirmed. And they were called CCD classes, which I had no idea what I was doing in those classes. I was looking out the window at the birds. I was looking at the kid next to me. I had no idea what confirmation was, and I didn't care what it was. I just had to do my duty and go to these classes. So then it came time to be confirmed, and we were all standing in line in the church, and the bishop was going to slap us on the face or something, which I didn't understand why. So apparently it's to receive the Holy Spirit at that time. So as I'm walking in line, I started crying again. Just like the time in the bathroom. It's like this overwhelming thing came over me. I love Jesus. Why? What's going on? And I start crying. And I was like, 10 people back from the bishop, and the nun looked at me and she grabbed me out of the line. She said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Oh, I just really love Jesus." And she's like, "Oh, let me get you the papers to sign up to be a nun." I met my husband Frank in 1976. We were both pretty wild then. We were not walking in the Lord. But then we found Jesus. You know, we did find Jesus. And I had no idea his dad was a deliverance minister. He kept his dad secret from me for a whole year we were dating. I didn't even know him. And then I ended up meeting his dad. He starts casting demons out of me. I didn't even know what a demon was. I learned everything about spiritual warfare and then some. I was able to cast out, spit out, walk out most of the spiritual baggage in my life. I couldn't get rid of rejection and insecurity. Well, I'm sweating up here. What's going on? It had me in such bondage, it affected the way I dealt with everything in my life. My mother. Oh, she hated Christians. She liked Catholics, but she hated anyone that wasn't Catholic. She even hated my stepfather, who was Jewish, which was really weird. Well, she hated Jewish people, but... anyway. But she was like a hater. She hated my husband. She especially hated his dad. Whoa, boy, she hated him. And we had... She didn't like the way I raised my kids. We didn't celebrate Halloween. It was terrible that we didn't have Santa Claus come to the house. And, you know, so Santa Claus came to her house, you know, for my kids. And she knew exactly how to push my butt. She knew exactly. I mean, she'd get on the phone with me and I'm a happy person. I'm always happy and smiling, but when my mother would get through with me, I would be crying and it would be just, it was not a good experience. She just knew what to do, what to push, what buttons. One particular day, I was having an argument with her, and I cried out to the Lord. I said, "Lord, why of all people, why did you give me her as a mother?" I really meant it. Why? Why did I get this one? And you know what the Lord spoke to me so softly? He said, "Don't you know I hid you from your mother?"
Where's the tissue? Because I'm going to cry. Oh, there's paper towel.
Yeah.
Lots of paper towels.
So he said, "Don't you know I hid you from your mother? I wanted you born. I wanted you here. It doesn't matter who your earthly mother and father are. You are a daughter of mine. I have a plan for your life. And it was my will that you were born. Doesn't matter what family you're born into. God is your father." If you read Psalm 139:13, "For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when yet there was none of them." God has a plan for your life. Nothing happens by accident. When we are placed in the family He wants us in, you will impact the lives of those you are in contact with. How we react to those that hurt us may make the difference of whether they see Christ in us. It was at this time in my life that the revelation hit me: God does love me. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but He really loves me. I'm special, and He chose me. You will never get rid of rejection until you know you are His. The first step in reversing rejection is accepting God's love. Yeah. You have to accept your heirship. You have to accept that you are a daughter and a son of God and receive it fully. There's no room for doubt or disbelief. Once you know who you are and your identity is in Christ, rejection does not stand a chance. You got that? That is so important. Not like, "Oh, I accept Jesus as my Savior, but, you know, am I really His?" Yes. Yes, you have to accept that. Rejection is an evil spirit that rules over a multitude of other evil spirits that operate under rejection with specific assignments. Rejection makes people feel like they're not loved. Rejection is a form of unbelief, because rejection says you are not accepted by God. Sometimes we try to please man and think if man accepts us, then God will also. That's called idolatry. Put no man above God. If you have rejection, the first thing that comes in is bitterness. What else comes with bitterness? Unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. Unless you deal with bitterness, you cannot deal with rejection. You heard it before. I forgive, but I never will forget. Guess what? You have to forget so you don't remember the hurt anymore. We have all experienced rejection. It can be real or imagined. A lot of it's imagined. Because once it's there, it's telling you everybody else is doing whatever. Either way, we know the feeling, and we all know it's a horrible feeling. Everybody here has felt rejection. It's the most devastating of human emotions, because God created us to love and be loved. The Word of God tells us we are loved, adopted, and accepted, but rejection has assignment to steal those truths away from us. Rejection really does happen to people. Sometimes it really did happen, sometimes it was imagined. The person was really not rejected, but they have a spirit of rejection, and they take every look, every word, and twist it and turn it to make themselves feel rejected. You need to start accepting yourself as God accepted you. God is truth. Romans 8:15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. There are a number of defense mechanisms of rejection. The first one was withdrawal. Because of fear of man, fear of woman, fear of pastor, fear of teacher, fear of friends, this will cause you to withdraw, isolate yourself. When we have fear of failure, fear of rejection, and fear of abandonment. The third defense mechanism, The second defense mechanism is exploding anger and hatred. Instead of withdrawal, a person with rejection may become aggressive with exploding anger. They are fighting bitterly against real or supposed injustice or pain. A third defense is finding your identity in others instead of Christ. Sometimes we try to establish a meaningful identity after someone else or a role model. You've seen people that pal around together and they start to talk alike and look alike and wear the same clothes and, you know, they start to emulate each other. You stand alone before God and your identity needs to be complete in Him. Friendships are great. There's nothing wrong with having good friends. But don't let your friends replace God. Or husband. Or wife. Or children. My mother passed away 10 years ago. I miss her. She was really special. See this necklace? She gave me this necklace when I was a teenager. Can you imagine? It didn't go with my Nehru jacket and my bell bottoms and love beads, that's for sure. And I used to laugh at it and call it the family jewels. You know, so it was very appropriate that I wear this today in honor of my mother. So she passed away 10 years ago when Frank led her to the Lord. 10 days before she died. I saw the demons flee from her.
Yes.
And he would go in and he would open the Bible and he would sing scriptures to her. She held his hand and just loved on him and just enjoyed every minute of it. When he walked in the room, her eyes would light up. Like he was her husband, but he's my husband. I told her I loved her, and she said, I love you too. And then I said goodbye. I was angry. Of all those years that were wasted.
Yes.
You know, 10 days, she had 10 days in the Lord. And all those years where she was in anger, bitter, she was in rejection her whole life.
Yes.
She was bound up in bitterness. And now I know that, you know, what you go through, your parents, they went through stuff too. You know, they went through it too. And you have to look at what, you know, what the devil has done to hurt you. They hurt people in your past. People that you were married to in their past. You know, it just goes down family lines. If you have abuse in a family line, it goes all the way down. It goes all the way back. Okay, that's it. Now we're going to go into deliverance. This is a whole new ballgame for me, okay? You ready? Okay, go get him. Go get him. Okay, repeat this. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you.
Amen.
The enemy has been defeated, and Jesus gave us authority over him. Also in Matthew 18:18, declares that we have the right to bind and loose. So we bind the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, and we loose the Holy Spirit for healing and deliverance.
Yes.
For His work in our life.
Yes.
Okay, repeat after me. This is French notes. Do you want to do it?
You're good.
Okay, you ready? Repeat after me. I believe I have been given the authority and power over all the schemes of the enemy.
alive.
And the words that were spoken over me by the enemy are now void of their power in my life.
I cancel all the words
that were spoken over me
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Every word that was formed as a weapon against me
shall not prosper in my life.
It will not take root in my life any longer. And I command the power of those words and the spirit behind those words.
Death.
Theft.
Death.
And destruction.
Destruction.
Be powerless.
Over my life.
In Jesus' name. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God.
And He died for my sins. And I receive His forgiveness by His shed blood. I am forgiven for my sins. And the enemy trapped me in for so long. I am free now because the blood of Jesus Christ has set me free. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Breath and spirit in the Greek are the same word, pneuma. So when you blow out breath, spirit, you are starting a process by putting your will behind it. Evil spirits come out on the breath, but they come out in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the name of Jesus that casts spirits out. I command out of me every spirit of false assumption.
False concepts.
False values. I command them to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command every spirit of rejection.
Condemnation.
Guilt and shame. That makes me feel like I'm in time out.
Away from God.
Separated from God. I command those spirits to leave me now. Everyone take a deep breath and blow it out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of inferiority. Insecurity. Fear. Hopelessness. Defensiveness. Judgmentalism. Criticism. Blame shifting. Mistrust.
Hardness of heart.
Perfectionism. To leave me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow it out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of vain imagination.
Pride.
Prideful thinking. Warped philosophies. Wrong patterns of thought. Wrong assumptions. False pretense. And everything connected to my thought patterns. That lead me to rejection. To leave me now in the name of Jesus. Everyone take a deep breath and let it out. These are the ones when you meet somebody and you feel like they don't like you. You know, that's your own thought process. If you're really walking in Christ, you don't care if they like you or not. Just love them. Amen? In the name of Jesus Christ, I command out of me every spirit of daydreaming.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command out of me every spirit of daydreaming.
Sloth?
Sloth.
I don't even know what that is. Procrastination?
Procrastination.
Escapism.
Escapism.
Out in the name of Jesus.
Out in the name of Jesus.
Everyone take a deep breath and blow it out in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of rejection that came in through words.
I command the spirit of rejection that came in through words.
I command the spirit of rejection that comes in through words or actions.
I command the spirit of rejection that comes in through words or actions.
When I felt useless.
When I felt useless.
When I was unable to get a job.
When I was unable to get a job.
When someone fired me.
When someone fired me.
And they said words over me.
And they said words over me.
I command those words to be void of their power over my life.
I command those words to be void of their power over my life.
And over my future.
And over my future.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I cancel the effects of the spirits of those words that created
situations.
I command that evil spirit.
I command that evil spirit.
And all associated spirits.
All associated spirits.
Of lack.
Of lack.
Of poverty.
Of poverty.
Of unemployment.
Of unemployment.
Financial ruin.
Financial ruin.
And I command the spirit that came into me.
And I command the spirit that came into me.
That made me feel unworthy.
That made me feel unworthy.
And wounded. Because of poverty.
Because of poverty.
To leave me now in Jesus' name.
To leave me now in Jesus' name.
Yes, all the way out. Blow that one out. Get that out. That's failure. I command the spirit of loneliness.
I command the spirit of loneliness.
That makes me feel rejected.
That makes me feel rejected.
All spirits of rejection.
All spirits of rejection.
That come from words.
That come from words.
That were spoken into my life.
That were spoken into my life.
That made me feel condemned.
That made me feel condemned.
Punished.
Punished.
To leave me now in the name of Jesus.
To leave me now in the name of Jesus.
I command out of me.
I command out of me.
Every spirit of difficulty.
Every spirit of difficulty.
That came into my life from words.
That came into my life from words.
The spirit of false compassion.
The spirit of false compassion.
False responsibility.
False responsibility.
Material lust.
Material lust.
Sexual lust.
Sexual lust.
Self-promotion.
Self-promotion.
Attention.
Attention.
Control.
Control.
Loss of identity.
Loss of identity.
Self-imprisonment.
Self-imprisonment.
Withdrawal.
Withdrawal.
Self-deception.
Self-deception.
Abandonment.
Abandonment.
Because of words to leave me now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of rejection of others.
In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of rejection of others.
Because I feel rejected by them.
Because I feel rejected by them.
I command that spirit that begets rejection.
I command that spirit that begets rejection.
Rejection in my life informs rejection.
Rejection in my life informs rejection.
Towards others.
Towards others.
That spirit that came in on words that were spoken in my life, leave me now in the name of Jesus.
That spirit was spoken in my life.
Yes. somebody is rejected, they reject other people. I command every spirit of revenge. Yeah, you did good. Swearing, cursing, foul language, stubbornness, insubordination, rebellion. That entered me because of rejection. Through words to lead me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go. And take a deep breath and blow it out. You know, I think that everyone that's in our prisons today is walking in rejection. You know, they didn't get there just, they didn't commit crimes just, oh, I'm going to go kill somebody today. I command out of me, the Spirit says, I cannot trust myself. I cannot trust my judgment.
I cannot trust anybody.
I'm in danger.
I cannot
stand up for myself.
I cannot let it out.
But you can.
I have to hide.
I have to protect myself.
I command that spirit of condemnation,
of punishment to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command out of me.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command out of me.
Every spirit that says I'm stupid.
Every spirit that says I'm stupid.
I don't deserve love.
I don't deserve love.
All these things that came to me through words.
All these things that came to me through words.
That were spoken against me. The weapon of warfare that was set against the course of my life.
The weapon of warfare that was set against the course of my life.
Words that made me feel I don't deserve love.
Words that made me feel I don't deserve love.
I need to be punished.
I need to be punished.
I did wrong.
I did wrong.
I should have done something else.
I should have done something else.
I could have done something else.
I could have done something else.
The spirit that says, I'm a bad person.
The spirit that says I'm a bad person.
That says I'm a terrible person.
That says I'm a terrible person.
That says I'm a worthless person.
That says I'm a worthless person.
That I'm shameful.
That I'm shameful.
Unloved.
Unloved.
Not good enough.
Not good enough.
I only deserve bad things.
I only deserve bad things.
That lying spirit.
That lying spirit.
Yes. That says I'm ugly.
That says I'm ugly.
That I don't deserve good things.
That I don't deserve good things.
That I'm stupid and insignificant.
That I'm stupid and insignificant.
I'm a disappointment.
I'm a disappointment.
That I should just die.
That I should just die.
I don't deserve to live.
I don't deserve to live.
I command that lion spirit. To put those things out of my mind. And I command them to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. I just have a little bit of air. Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command out of me every spirit that says I'm not in control. I am powerless. I'm a failure.
I'm inadequate.
I'm damaged goods. No one will love me the way I am.
I have to do something to prove I'm lovable.
I don't belong.
I'm
not a good fit. I can't fit into any group of people.
I can't fit into any group of people.
I command all those lying spirits to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Now I decree and declare a good fortune. For me, because your word declares. It for me, Lord.
Your words have meaning.
And the enemy's words do not have any meaning in my life anymore. Jeremiah 29:11-12.
For I know the thoughts
that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. I thank you, Lord, for my healing. Of my deliverance and my deliverance. Thoughts,
actions,
deeds
against me.
From words that were spoken into my life,
and over my life,
that caused me to go down the wrong path, that set the course of my life, and made me head in the wrong direction. But I thank you, Lord, for setting me free today. Lord Jesus, I ask that you come in and take the place where those demons were. I ask that you rule
and reign
there now.
I surrender
those places to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for setting me free.
Now, I'm going to call out just one more thing, and we'll do that again, okay? This is a list of what I wrote down when I was writing this, so of what jumped out at me. So, and you told me to do that, so I did that. And this is a list. I just want to make sure that we cover all ground here, okay? In the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
the spirit of unbelief.
Man-pleasing spirit.
Idolatry.
Feeling unloved.
Not fitting in.
Unwanted.
Unaccepted.
Emotional pain.
Affliction.
And abuse.
Insecurity.
Bitterness.
Unforgiveness.
Resentment.
Retaliation.
Anger.
Wrath.
Hatred.
Violence.
Murder.
Withdrawal.
Isolation.
Fear of authority figures.
Police officers, doctors, teachers, bosses.
Not Boston.
Bosses.
Fear of bosses.
Yeah. Husbands, fathers, mothers. All authority figures.
Fear of failure.
Rejection.
And abandonment.
Thank you, Lord, for healing me.
Thank you, Lord, for healing me.
And Lord, I ask that you come in and take the place
where
those demons were. I ask you to rule and reign over there now. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free.
Hallelujah.
You all heard that?
No. Why don't you get up, Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry, go ahead.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Okay, the loss of identity that comes in when you lose a father. So, Lord, we forgive our fathers for abandoning us, betraying us, and we just command the demons of rejection, of loss of identity through the loss of a father to go now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, would you come and be our glory, the glory of children as fathers. We receive your glory because you're the greatest father in the whole world. Give your children your identity now, Lord. In Jesus' name, never doubt that identity. And we come against the spirit of rejection that came in through divorce. Go now, all of us, leave us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord.
She did say, buckle your seatbelts.
How about that? That was, Jill's given her testimony several times before at different places, but this is the first actual time that she gave deliverance behind that. So I just thank God that he's, calling her up and stepping her up. And as Jen said before, that there would be many times that you've been sitting in the audience and maybe you've sat in the audience for a long time. And then God calls you to step up. We've been taking the lower seat, and it's best to take the lower seat. You may have ministries that are inside of you that you're ready to birth, you're ready to go with your ministries, but God has not called you to step up.
That's right.
And that many times when people go ahead of God's plan, that is the plan of the enemy to push you forward before your time. So you have to understand that the enemy would like to push you before your time, but then there's a time where God says, get out of the lower seat and come up to the higher chair. Well, I have something in store for you. And some of you here are on the edge of that right now. Some of you have been in ministry for a while, by the way. And you have been like a ship out in the ocean for many, many years. And you have been a ship that has developed leaks and now is starting to sink. And you feel, I hear the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you feel like you're going down. And you've come to get patched up and put into dry dock for a while. And all the leaks fixed. And that's what this is doing here today. We're bringing you into dry dock so that you can get fixed. That your leaks can be patched up. Maybe you got into ministry. There's a lot of noble things we could do. And for the body of Christ and in the body of Christ, but maybe you got into the ministry at the wrong time in your life and you moved ahead of the plan of God and now you're reaping the consequences of it. Well, I say to you, unto you, to repent in the name of Jesus Christ and surrender your crown again. Take your crown off. Take your crown off and give it to Jesus. No, that's you. I want to see a hand raise. Don't be embarrassed. I want to see a hand raise. If that's you and you feel like you moved ahead of your time and now you're battered and beat up. If that's you, I want to see a hand raise. I know there's somebody in here. You almost raised your hand and you stopped. All right, then see me later. If that's you, I want you to see me later because I want to lay hands on you. And pray for restoration. I want to lay hands on you and pray for that. Amen? Now, let's give the Lord a hand. Amen? Okay, so later on today, we're going to do more. Jim, are you doing something today?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay, so don't miss that. And Somebody else here, too. Carla's at
7
p.m. tonight.
And the 1 o'clock small group now.
1 o'clock? Is it 1 o'clock?
Yes.
1 o'clock for the men upstairs and the gals downstairs. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Then I dismiss you in the name of Jesus Christ, and let's have some fellowship. Anybody that needs prayer?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.